You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
So what is water baptism, church? Water baptism is an outward declaration of the decision one has made in their heart to repent, believe in Jesus, and confess that he is Lord of their life. The word baptism is derived from the Greek word baptizo, which means to dip, to immerse, or to submerge. Hence, as a church, we believe in baptism by full immersion. So we have our tank of water, and you go fully under the water. Baptism is symbolic of you and I being a new creation in Christ. As it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new creation. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. Church, baptism does not make a person saved. Conversely, not being baptized doesn't mean you're not saved. Salvation is found only through faith in Jesus Christ. In Romans 10:9-13, we see this. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in me will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls the name of the Lord will be saved. Church, salvation is found through faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for us, who went to the cross, died for us, was buried, and rose again on the third day. So then, why be baptized? Well, the first reason is Jesus commands us to in his word. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, that should be reason enough. If Jesus commands it, it probably should be reason enough to do it. Jesus commands baptism in the Great Commission. In Matthew 28, verses 19, it says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Jesus says it's pretty clearly here, go and make disciples and then baptize them. If Jesus made it a part of his mission that we are here on earth for, I think we can conclude that it's a pretty important step in following Jesus. So why be baptized? If you're taking notes, the first point, baptism is an important step in knowing and following Jesus. Church, Jesus himself was baptized. In Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17, we see the account of the baptism of Jesus. Reading from verse 13, then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said. So why are you coming to me? But Jesus said it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy. Church, when John the Baptist baptized people, he preached a message of repentance. We see earlier in that passage in Matthew 3, verses 1 to 2, and then in verse 6. In those days, John the Baptist came to the Judean wilderness and began preaching. His message was, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And in verse 6, and when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. It's interesting, John the Baptist preached a message of repentance, but Jesus, our Savior, he was without sin. In Hebrews 4, verse 15, it says, the high priest of ours understands our weakness, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So if Jesus was without sin, he didn't have to confess and repent like the rest of us do. Why then be baptized? What was the reason Jesus was baptized? Church, this is how amazing our Jesus is. This is how wonderful the Savior that we have, who wants to be near to us, who wants to relate to us. Jesus wanted to be able to completely relate to you and I, that through baptism, he could understand what we would have to go through as we went through the waters of baptism, as we went through that repentance. Church, Jesus was baptized to be identified with us, but he was also baptized to be identified to us, so we would know as his followers to follow his example. He set us the example of what we should do. But what does this mean for you and I today? You and I are on a journey of, as followers of Jesus, of becoming more and more like him. How do we follow him? In our modern society, we can follow people a lot of different ways. Social media, you can follow your friends on Facebook or Instagram or whatever other form of social media you use. But when we follow someone on Instagram, we don't really know them that well unless they're a close personal friend. How do we get to know someone when we follow them? You can spend time with them. You can do the things we do. They do. An analogy of this, I suppose, would be if I was wanting to become a plumber. I'm not very good at plumbing, so there's no plans for me at any stage to become a plumber. But for example, if I was going to become a plumber, I was an apprentice plumber, I would probably look at training with a certified plumber, following them around, watching what they do, learning what they do, doing the things they do. In a sense, we're all Jesus' apprentices. We're learning to follow him, to become like him. So Jesus was baptized. Therefore, it's an important step for you and I, as part of following Jesus, of knowing him, to follow his lead in baptism. So baptism is an important step in knowing and following Jesus. Secondly, Jesus was identified through his baptism. In the scripture of Jesus' baptism that we read in Matthew, in verse 17 it says, "And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my dearly loved son, who brings me great joy.'" What a moment of identification. Jesus as a son, as one who is dearly loved, and one who brings the Father great joy. Church, it's important to note here that Jesus hadn't begun his ministry at this point. He had been working up as a carpenter. He was baptized. He went into the wilderness, and then he began his ministry. So he hadn't actually begun his ministry at this point. So his identity, his identification in God, was not based on what he had done or what he hadn't done. He was a son, he was love, and he brought great joy to the Father simply because of who he was in God. When we look back at verse 16, after his baptism, as Jesus came out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. Jesus saw the Holy Spirit descend and settle on him. Jesus was about to begin his public ministry, and he would do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. To quote the great theologian Spurgeon, he says, "It was the Spirit of God who gave success to Jesus Christ's ministry." So what does this mean for you and I today, church? Jesus was identified through his baptism. As followers of Jesus, you and I can be assured that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. You and I are loved unconditionally. You and I bring God great joy. And you and I walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I truly believe that's something that many people need to hear this morning. Because in our society today, we are performance-based. We are results-motivated. You know, we are measured by key performance indicators. We are measured by how well we do in different things. And we want to measure our own success. You know, we want to measure what we're doing in this area, what we're doing in that area. And often we measure ourselves by our success or our failures, what we do well, what we don't do well. So sometimes we can feel like we don't measure up, or we're disappointing someone, or we're letting someone down. Or we believe that we have to do certain things to be loved, approved, or accepted. But can I encourage you, church, this morning? That is not your identity. This is a journey that I've had to walk through myself. I grew up in a culture in Malaysia that was very performance motivated, very results motivated. You know, people always wanted to know how you were doing in your exams, what extracurricular activities you were doing, how well you were doing in different things. And in a sense, that starts to form your identity. You sort of feel like what you do, how you perform matters the most. And through this just past time of prayer and fasting, I started to ask God, because I know that there's things that he's put upon my life to do, but for those of you who know me, I can be quite resistant and reluctant to do those things that God has called me to, preferring to stay out of the shadows and not come up on stage and speak to people. And I was really asking Holy Spirit, like, where has this come from? What is the reason for this? And you know, God is so good and he's so faithful. He started to reveal to me that because of this performance-based mentality that I had, that I was afraid of failing. I had this fear of failure in me that I went, oh, but what if I fail? What if I don't achieve what you're calling me to do? What if what I do doesn't measure up? And how I'd got trapped in this thinking that that's what matters to God. How I'd got chained down by that. How I had got held back from doing what God has called me to because of those thoughts that I had. So can I encourage you, church? I'm on this journey with you. But our God is so faithful. He is refining me and molding me just as he refines you and molds you. He is so good in pointing out those little things when we ask him, where has this come from? What's going on? Getting to the root of the problem so we can walk in greater freedom, so we can walk in authority with him. And so can I encourage you this morning, church? We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. You and I, we are loved unconditionally. Nothing we could do could make God love us more, and nothing we could do or didn't do or did do could make God love us less. And that you and I, like he said to Jesus, that you bring me great joy. We bring the Father great joy. And you and I, as followers of Jesus, we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I truly believe, church, that if that's you this morning, if you like me or in different ways, you have struggled with areas of identity where you've gone, oh, I'm not sure where I stand. I'm not sure if I'm performing good enough. And Trent, you were really someone that came to mind this morning when I was looking at those notes, that I truly believe that God is giving you a new identity in him, that he is molding you and refining you into who he's called you to be. And I believe that you, as you continue to step into that, as you continue to allow him to do that mighty work in you, you will just see what he's called you to and you will be blown away. So why baptism, church? Baptism is an important step in knowing and following Jesus. Jesus was identified during his baptism. Thirdly, baptism is symbolic of the transformation that happens at salvation. We read 2 Corinthians 5:17 already, but I'll read it again, this time from the Amplified. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. Through belief in Jesus, church, we have become a new creation. Baptism is symbolic of this, identifying us with Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection. We see this in the following scriptures that I'll read. In Romans chapter 6, verses 3 to 5, reading from the New Living Translation. Or have you forgotten that when you were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we may also live new lives. Since we have been united with him in death, we will also be raised to life as his word, as he was. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, it says, you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised him from the dead. Though symbolic, baptism is not merely a symbol, a ritual, or a practice. It represents the powerful transformation work that Jesus does in you through salvation. When you are baptized, you testify that you are dead to your and buried to your old sinful life. When you are put under the water is like a grave to you. This signifies that you are buried with Christ. Like Jesus rose on the third day, you rise from the water, you signify that you are alive. You rise in the strength and power of Christ into a new and glorious life. There's nothing just a ritual or practice about that. That is powerful, church. That our old life is gone, that who we used to be is gone, and that as we come alive in Jesus, because of the price Jesus paid on the cross, because we have salvation in him, we can walk in this new life that he's given us. You know, that's been an overarching theme through this morning in the praise and worship, that he has given us new life. In the prayer meeting this morning, that was the word for this morning, new life. That you and I, because of the price that Jesus paid, have new life in him. So beyond baptism, what does that mean for you and I? What does that mean for our everyday as a follower of Jesus? Baptism represents the transformation that occurs in salvation, that new life we have. However, church, I'm sorry to say it's not the once and all fix all everything moment. It's not a one-off thing, one fix all for everything. After baptism, there is still a journey of outworking all that God has for us. There are still things we need to actively pursue that God has called you to. And this is, again, something that I can share a personal testimony of God teaching me about. Like I said, I can be a little bit rebellious and a little bit resistant at times. And over the last little while, Holy Spirit has really been speaking to me about laying those things down. You know, Pastor Naomi shared a word, and something that really spoke to me was what she said in Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I who live it, but Christ that lives in me. The life that I live in flesh, I live by faith in the one who loved me and gave himself for me. And I've really been learning about the outworking of that for me. What does that mean? To lay down my old rebellious self, to lay down the things that I want to hold on to lay down the things that I think are of value to go, or the things that I think matter, to pursue what God has called me to. And church, can I encourage you to do the same? That beyond baptism, there is an outworking of walking in this new life. That you and I continue to walk in this new life every day, going to God and saying, what is it you would have me do? Seeking our next step from him and pursuing all God has for us. Because can I encourage you, it's not just for us. There is a city out there, there is a nation out there, there is a world out there that needs to know the hope and love of Jesus. That we have the answer in him. We are not the answer, he's the answer. But we can bring the answer to the world that is hurting, to a world that needs to know a hope, to a world that needs to know love, that needs to know grace. And that as we do that, as we walk in that transformation power, that he is constantly refining us and molding us, that we can then be the light to our city. So why be baptized? It's an important step in knowing and following Jesus. Jesus was identified during his baptism. Baptism is symbolic of the transformation that happens to us at salvation. Fourthly, baptism is a declaration to the world that we believe in Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40, there is an account of Philip meeting with an Ethiopian eunuch. The eunuch was studying the scriptures, but he didn't really understand what he was reading in Isaiah. Philip comes alongside him and starts to speak to him and share the good news of Jesus Christ. They start to go on their way, and they come to some water, and the eunuch responds with a desire to be baptized, as we see in Acts chapter 8, verse 36. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Now the next verse we see is actually not in all versions, but the New King James Version, Philip responds to this question of what hinders me from being baptized. In Acts 8:37, "Then Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.'" The eunuch made a declaration there. He declared that he believes in Jesus. Through baptism, we are declaring to the world that we believe in Jesus. We declare that he is real, that he exists, and that we know him to be real in our lives. It is our proclamation of our desire to be his disciple, to follow every one of his commandments in simple obedience. It's a declaration to the world that we believe in Jesus Christ. And how exciting is that? That once again we can declare that we believe in Jesus Christ, that we have a good God who has saved us, who has restored us, who has redeemed us, who is refining us, so that we can declare to the world that we believe in him, we follow him. So we've covered some of the whys of baptism. We've covered the what of baptism. Now the who. Who is baptism for? Acts chapter 2, verses 38 to 39 says, "Peter replied, 'Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God.'" Church, baptism is for anyone who has made a decision to follow Jesus. Through repenting and then believing and confessing that Jesus is Savior and Lord. It doesn't matter where you are in this journey of following Jesus. In the early church in Acts, people believed in Jesus and then were baptized one or 2 days later in quick succession, almost immediately. So it wasn't like you have to think, oh, I've got to get my act all together first after salvation, and then I'll get baptized. As I invite the creative team to come back up, baptism is for all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is a decision that each person needs to make for themselves. Church, I grew up in a church that practiced baptism for children. This was in Malaysia, so I was baptized as a child. Being baptized as a child, I don't believe I had the full understanding of why be baptized. Hear my heart, church. I'm not saying that children should not get baptized, but I think it's important that they understand understand what baptism is all about, and they're able to make a personal declaration of belief. Which is why, after doing more study into baptism, and after speaking to Pastor Lee, I actually said to Pastor Lee, could I please be baptized again? And so, church, next Sunday at Baptism Sunday, I'm going through the waters of baptism again. So I'm standing there and going through the waters of baptism again. And you know, it's a decision that I wrestled with a little bit. I was like, well, this is a bit odd. Do I need to be baptized again? What does it mean to be baptized again? What does that mean to me? But you know, as I looked at the why of baptism, they were things I wanted to declare over my life. You know, they were things that as a child I may not have fully understood. But now as a follower of Jesus, I understand. And I'm still on that journey of knowing Jesus more and more. I definitely haven't arrived. I'm still learning to follow him, know who he is, and become more like him. And like I said, I'm in a work in progress of understanding what it says in Galatians 2:20. That is, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. But can I encourage you, church, that I can say wholeheartedly that my relationship with God is infinitely more valuable than anything or anyone. And I want to grow in knowing him. I want to grow in following him. And being baptized again is part of that journey for me. So what does this message of baptism mean for you? As you're sitting here this morning, if you're watching online, what does the message of baptism mean to you? If you have been baptized, maybe it's a time to reflect on what it meant for you. Who you are in God, your right standing with God, your identity with God. Maybe it's a moment to reflect on the transformation work that occurred at salvation, but to start to outwork that to a greater level. There is so much more in God. There is so much more for each and every one of you. He's so good. He's so committed to refining us and making us more like him. He's so committed to your growth. He's so committed to seeing us become who he has called us to be, not just for ourselves, but for a city out there, for a nation out there, for a world out there that needs to know him. And he loves you so much that he does not want you to walk in those things that you have struggled with. He doesn't want you to hold on to those things that you've struggled with anymore. Issues of identity, issues of fear, issues of insecurity, things that I know I have struggled with, but by the grace of God, he has set me free from. And it's the same for you this morning, church. If there's things you're uncertain of, there's things you're struggling with, be reminded if you have been baptized, that your identity is secure in Christ. He knows you. He loves you. He has a plan and purpose for your life. And he's committed to see you become who he has called you to be. If you haven't been baptized before, maybe today you have a great understanding of what baptism is, why be baptized, who it's for. Maybe today it's the day you decide that you want to be baptized. Maybe you're like me. Maybe you grew up in a church where they practice baptizing children as baptizing children or infants. You know, maybe you went through a baptism in a different church, but now you've made a decision here in this church to follow Jesus and you've gone, do you know what? I have an understanding of what baptism is. I have a greater understanding today and I want to be baptized. Maybe this is your next step. Maybe today is the first time you're hearing about Jesus. Or maybe you have heard about him, but you haven't made a decision to follow him yourself. You haven't made a personal commitment to make him Lord of your life. That is your first step. And later on, we'll have an opportunity for you to do that. Maybe you've walked closely with God before, but you've walked away from him. And today is your line in the sand moment where you say, no more, I'm coming back to you, Lord. I want to follow you. can I encourage you, church, that wherever you are on this journey, allow God to speak to you. Allow God to tell you what your next step is. He always has the best and highest for you. He always wants to bring you to greater levels of freedom. He's a good father. And be obedient to Holy Spirit's prompting. Like I said, this was something that I sort of was uncertain about, and I was like, Lord, this is weird. Holy Spirit, is this really what you're telling me to do? I'd like, how do I do this? How do I say to the church, hey, I'm getting baptized again? Is that weird? Is that odd? And I was really uncertain, and a part of me kind of went like, well, maybe I just keep quiet about it and not say anything. But you know, that's not the God we serve. He's not a God of secrets. He's not a God who wants things done hidden. But he wants you to know that you are loved. That he has the best and highest for you. That he no longer wants you to struggle with the things that you struggle with for years. He wants you to know who you are in him. He wants you to remember the transformational work he's so committed to doing in your life. So church, follow his lead. Even in this moment, take a moment to say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? What is your will for my life? What is my next step? What do I need to do with this? He desires to speak to every one of us. So as the band leads us in a worship song, wherever you find yourself in that list of people, be encouraged, church. God is for you. God is not against you. And he has a plan and purpose for your life.